To New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovic and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your wonderful phone calls right here today at 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us today for New Life.
I really appreciate your show. It's been a big blessing to me.
I have two teenage boys. Maybe for a couple weeks it'll be okay, and then all of a sudden we slip up again.
Whoa. Can you translate what all of a sudden means?
After I sobered up, I wasn't numb enough to drown out what was aggravating me with my mother.
Okay.
That's well put, by the way.
In my heart, I don't think that it's important enough to tell her.
Well, if it's not important enough to tell her, are you sure it was important enough to divorce?
You know, sometimes we only think there's two options.
Is that because you were clueless in that time?
You know, that is a very good possibility.
This is one of the prices of boundaries.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. No matter where you are, maybe you're riding down the road in your car, or you've pulled over. Maybe you're in a truck, or at home, or at work, someplace. You're listening to us. We're glad you're with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Some of you listen every day, and we love that. And joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovic. How you guys doing?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good.
I'm doing well. Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you today.
It's good to be with you, and I want to remind everybody that this coming Friday is our Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend, and we won't have another one until next year. We'll have a Women in the Battle, we'll have Every Man's Battle, and we'll do Lose It for Life, but this is the last Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend, and so please, it's not too late. You can be part of a life-changing weekend.
You know, to jump in on this, because it's going to be the last one of the year, is really important, because it really helps people get dislodged from those stuck places where maybe they've been for decades. And, you know, you just go, how are they ever going to get unstuck? How am I ever going to get to a place? And this is just one of those things that starts you moving. And, you know, life, we don't accomplish great strides in just overnight. It's a series of small moves. Life is like a chess game, just a series of small moves.
It's true.
And so, you know, this is one of those small moves that can make a very big long-term difference.
Great summer vacation.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Plus tie a vacation into it.
Yeah. I mean, going someplace where you can make significant change, that's like an emotional vacation, because you're going someplace different.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? I mean, we spend all this money trying to save for vacations to go places where it really doesn't change us like we hope it would.
Yeah.
But this type of vacation really has purpose and meaning, especially if you've been stuck for a long
time. Okay, so a lot of vacations are distractions, right?
Yes.
Okay,
uh-huh.
And they keep us from thinking and feeling about what's really important.
They do.
So this would be a way to take vacation time
and
spend that money perhaps in doing something very intentional that, instead of distraction, makes you focus on areas that need
to. Something you don't have time to do at this level of intensity when you've got to keep up with your regular day-to-days.
Hard to do on a daily basis.
Chores, work.
So we hope that if you're just taking a plain old vacation to rest, that we've made you feel guilty enough to call it and join us here.
Oh, that was my intent.
Cancel your reservation.
Cancel it.
And we'll leave the light on for you. Yes, we will.
Well, anyway, so come join us. I mean, it is life-changing. That's all I can say. And if you just don't know why God isn't working in your life, you probably will by Sunday if you come on Friday. And if you're wondering what's standing in the way of your relationship being what you want it to be and what God wants it to be, you'll probably know by Friday. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and ask about the New Life Weekend. This weekend, it's Healing is a Choice. And, you know, it is. It is a choice, and we want you to make that choice. So get on the phone or go to the website. It's a new website, newlife.com. I think you'll enjoy it. It's easy to use, and a lot of resources there. And all you have to do is ask what you want to know, and it'll tell you. It'll show you where to go to get it. When we come back, we'll go right to our phones with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovic and me, Steve Arterburn. And glad that you're with us today. Hope that your summer is going well. Hope you can help us with our matching gift, $100,000 matching, and we just need your help to get it.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's talk. Are you laughing at me?
No, we're not laughing at you. Mylan, you know, he's just funny.
He is funny. He's very funny. And when it comes to cornography and humor, he is just absolutely the best. I want to talk to Sue from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She's listening in WORD, the great, great station there in Pittsburgh. Hello there, Sue.
Hi, how are you doing?
Quite well, thank you. What is happening in your life that's causing you to call a national talk show and say, here, strangers, let me ask you my problem.
We're not strangers.
Now that you feel
we're friends,
invited
we're
to talk.
We're friends to Sue. I mean, she knows us well.
I hope so.
Yes, I do listen to your show, and I appreciate you taking my call. I have been married for 8.5 years, and I have a 6-year-old son. And I'm a Christian, and my husband is not. And I'll just get right to the question. Besides my spouse committing adultery, or when is it okay for it biblically to be okay to have a divorce? And it says in the Bible that if the non-Christian wants out of a marriage, then it's okay for the Christian to have a divorce. But it's not really okay, I guess, for the Christian to ask for a divorce.
Can you tell us what's going on that would cause you to want to be free?
Well, we've been having problems for, like, you know, almost all of our marriage. He's very controlling and manipulative, and he's been mentally, verbally, and emotionally abusing me for all those years.
Hmm.
I've been to therapy for, I guess, over 4 years, and he sort of tried to go to therapy 3 different times, very short-lived. You could tell he wasn't trying.
Yeah.
And last year in September, my son and I were away, and we came back, and he told me that, you know, he almost committed adultery. I don't know exactly what that means. He said he brought a girl home, and he was in all the 7.5 years, he's never been remorseful or apologetic about anything. And he was really sorrowful. I mean, I could tell it was, like, really sounded sincere. So I trusted in the statement that he said that he would go to counseling and he would change. And that happened for maybe about 6 weeks to change, and then everything went back the way it is. And it's really affecting my son, because he's starting to treat me with the same disrespect as he is.
Mm. Mm. How old is your son?
Six.
Six?
Yeah, and I've been noticing the change. I mean, the disrespect and the way he's talking to me and acting towards me is exactly how my husband is treating me.
And what do you do when your son is disrespectful?
I tell him that I don't know what to do, but I do tell him that, you know, this is not acceptable. I do not like it. I've tried to get some answers from other people on how to deal with that.
Okay, see, and that's part of the deal here. You know, children are little sinners too, you know. They have, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. So it's possible that the son is emulating the father, yes, but you dictate whether or not somebody respects you or not. Respect is not just given, it's earned, especially as a child grows up. And if you think it's hard now. Try waiting till he's 16. You know, add 10 more years because kids can be very disrespectful. So part of the deal is you, Sue, saying what you'll tolerate and not tolerate with your son.
Okay? Well, it's also
just what getting away from the husband isn't going to make your son necessarily be different. That's all I'm trying
but
to say.
But it's also the same principle with the husband.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Because when he had this near affair, you didn't require anything of him other than try real hard this time. And, you know, that was your opportunity to say, if you're really sincere about how bad you feel, then we need to go to counseling, or you need to get some help, and so this never becomes a problem again.
We did go to counseling together right after that.
Well, how did that go?
Not very well. He only went for a little while, and then he said, well, I don't like that therapist, so he went to someplace else. And he says he doesn't believe in therapy, doesn't work. And I mean,
well, you don't believe in people having affairs either, but but it happens.
No, I don't.
So
I don't know what almost, you know, I mean, bringing a girl home, is that considering an affair? He says almost committed adultery.
Well, I can't imagine that was not adultery. I mean, he's not going to tell you the whole truth here.
Exactly.
And so what did he do? He brought her home and changed his mind? I mean, you have a right to know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, what if he brought her home and changed her clothes? You know, I mean, but I didn't. Right. But we didn't have intercourse. I mean, you know, what's adultery, and what did he do there? And you know, I think that's a very important thing for you to understand, know, and find out. And you require that. See, I think you have, other than a divorce, I think you, what Steve is saying is very important. Where's Sue in all this? What will she not tolerate any longer in a separation until a person does certain things? And you earn your way back to me if you want me, is a strategy that I don't think is employed quite enough with the stubborn, obstinate person who refuses to do anything to contribute to the marriage.
Right. And Sue, I hear that you feel really kind of powerless and beaten down in this situation, and you're just looking for a way out.
Well, he's talked about divorce before.
Yeah, but you ask us about you leaving.
Right, and it's like, okay, how can I just get away? And I think what the guys are trying to point out is just getting away really isn't the answer for you, because I'm sure you didn't marry your husband with the idea that this is how marriage would be, and this is the guy he was.
And if you divorce him, you're essentially turning over your son to be raised by him by himself for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
What you really want
is to be...
Talk about
lack of control.
Yeah, you want to be married to a man of character who respects you and loves you, right?
Right.
So, let's do some stuff that might get you to that point. And if he won't get help, then maybe a separation is the next step versus divorce.
Because continuing to live this way is unacceptable. Right, Sue?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And we're with you on that. This is unacceptable behavior on his part. And so you've got to be the one to say no more and take those steps.
Okay?
You can't just wait for him to do better and change.
Oh, I know that.
Okay.
No, I understand that. He's got to want to change, and I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he tells my son that he doesn't have to listen to me, and that he doesn't. You know, I don't believe what mommy's doing. You know, if I try to do any kind of disciplining or correcting, he says it right in front of Nolan, and you know, and knows that he doesn't have to listen to me, and I try my best to be able to tell him yes he does, and I try to enforce, you know, he gets his timeouts, he gets his consequences and things like that. And I mean, I get things, you know, I don't look forward to him being at 16, because if this continues the way it is, it's not going to be pretty.
But if you nip it in the bud right now, and you prove to Nolan that you are a force to be reckoned with, and he must respect you, and this is where, Sue, if you become little inside when you're trying to deal with a 6-year-old, and then it's a little adult inside, more childlike, help trying to raise another child, you're going to lose every time. So that's why you need to do everything you can to be the less fearful parent. your therapy is important to you, getting in a support group, everything you can. Because understandably, your husband is sabotaging everything mm-hmm. here. And we just want to validate. But it means, you know, if he never changes, you can still be a very great parent. And your son can be, and when he knows he's with you, he knows, I better toe the line here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can create that for him.
Yeah, and Mylon, this is, and Steve, this is one of those situations where, Sue, I really wonder who you've become to your husband, because yeah. it seems like such a strong reaction to a wife that you asked to marry you. You know, he's treating you in such a demeaning way that, you know, it looks like there's a lot of stuff in his background that's contributing.
Well, pleaser parents. And victim parents are the mm-hmm. weakest of all the parents, and they are least respected. And the children don't respect them well,
mm-hmm.
and the spouses don't respect them well. And so they don't know what to do. And so that's why they have to rise up, and we talk about it in our book,
right.
they have to rise up to be the parent and command respect. It's not given. It mm-hmm. must be commanded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful to you, Sue, and I'll send you How We Love. I think that will help you see a lot of the way you guys got together. And then I'll send you How We Love Our Kids to help you with this boy who I just feel so bad for him. And I would just challenge any father that's listening, you know, you're really teaching your son how to treat a woman. You're teaching a boy how much a woman deserves or what you think she deserves, and it's really important that we help them beyond just, you know.
Steve, that is such a true statement.
It's so true, and he's really using his son
yeah.
to deal with his own unresolved stuff.
Right.
And that's a tragedy.
Yeah. All right, 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the phone here. Let's go to Alaska, to Wasilla, Alaska. KATB is the station. Let's talk with Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hello there.
How you doing in Wasilla?
I'm doing great. The weather's great up here.
Let's see. Are there any famous people from Wasilla?
Oh, yeah. We got Sarah Palin here.
Well, that didn't sound like a very good attitude. All right. So, welcome to the program.
Oh, no. I love Sarah Palin. She's wonderful.
Okay. How could we help you?
You can't help me, but I can. I have a testimony.
Let's hear
it. When I married my wife two years ago, she's a type 1 diabetic and a lot of medical problems. And I told her one day, I said, since you lost your income and we're living on mine, I'm not sure we can actually pay our tithe to and survive and keep you alive and pay our bills. And she looked right at me and she said, if Christ can be spit upon, called a liar, a thief, and hung on a cross, then we can pay our tithes. So I started thinking about that, and I went ahead, and I've been paying my tithe ever since. And I started paying the net, and then somebody said, well, how much do you trust God? I said, I trust God totally. So then I started paying on my gross, which God has not forsaken us at all. Mm-hmm. He has multiplied and done so many things in our lives since we started doing that. And one day we were coming back from the valley. We were living in Anchorage at the time. And we came home with about $3,200 worth of drugs and, well, meds.
Mm-hmm.
For her and insulin, and we didn't pay a dime. And the Lord worked it out that my insurance was paid up and her doctor gave her some stuff. It was just phenomenal.
Wow, that's great.
Wow.
And it's just been awesome ever since we decided that, yeah, God is the way to do it. You need to just obey Him.
Right. Well, I tell you, we hear this over and over again, and what I think you've moved into is what we'd call the blessed life. And when you give to the Lord, you don't necessarily get it back in money, but the blessings, he tells us he'll bless us. And he says it right there in the last book of the Bible, Malachi. He says to try him on this, test him on this, and just see. And you're an example of that blessing. So thank you for that testimony, mm-hmm. Tony. Really appreciate that. You know, I made a mistake. We don't have a New Life Weekend coming up. We just had one. As you can tell, this is a taped program. But if you're interested in Every Man's Battle, or if you're interested in the women in the battle, or Lose It for Life, you can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sometimes I get a brain cloud, and it's clear to partly cloudy up there, and it just, you know, and so I had one of those experiences there. Sorry about that. But please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you are interested in Lose It for Life, Women in the Battle, if somebody in your life has a sexual integrity problem, or Every Man's Battle, if you're the one with a sexual integrity problem. Please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back for more of New Life Live after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We'll go to our phones again, and let's talk with Renee from Los Angeles, KKLA. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing very well today. Thank you. How could we help you?
I'm trying to find some trying to get some helpful information regarding my adult son and his girlfriend, which they've been together for 9 years, and they have a newborn baby.
Okay. And, what's the problem?
Well, there's been a rocky relationship for some years now between his girlfriend, Ashley, and my daughter. And things had gotten better. And now that the baby was born, Ashley, my son's girlfriend, now is not allowing my daughter to visit the baby. And it's very painful for me to go and my husband to go visit the baby when my daughter can't be allowed to go in. And it's causing friction again. And things were getting better because I am a Christian and I've been praying and fasting about it. And in February, the Lord told me, just call Ashley and take her to lunch, start visiting with her, and get the relationship. Whatever's happened in the past, it'll be a new start. So that was fine. And from February till now, things have been fine. She's been coming over for family visits, family events, what have you. But, and my daughter was able to go visit in the hospital and see the baby and take gifts and what have you. But now that the baby has went home, she will not allow my daughter to see the baby. However, my son, he's kind of torn. He doesn't know what to do. And so now it's, like, as I said, it's putting friction because now my husband and I are also getting agitated with each other because he wants to see the baby, but I say if we continue to see the baby, it will allow the behavior with Ashley to continue.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
I'm having difficulty to say, as hurtful as it is, I want to see the baby, and I have seen her a couple of times, but it's very tense, uncomfortable feeling, and so I don't stay long. So I want to know from your professional guidance, if I don't see the baby because of this issue, I'm hoping that it will, I'm praying that it will resolve so that she will include my daughter also to see the baby. However, if I don't see the baby, then it's so painful, and I don't want Ashley to start now telling my son, see, they don't want to see the baby. They,
okay.
Yeah, so it's being very difficult to see.
How old is your daughter that is not allowed to see the baby?
Oh, she's an adult. They're all adults.
How old is she?
29.
Okay, so I think that's the point you need to understand. It's not, I hate to make this sound so crass, but you can't dictate everybody's relationships as a mom or over our adult kids. Maybe your daughter and the friction she's having with the daughter-in-law slash girlfriend is just something they're going to have to work on. If you continue to take up these offenses, you know, you're complicating things. So I would step out of the way and just do what you're allowed to do with the child, see the child, be with the child, do whatever you're allowed to do. Really, the problem is you have the girlfriend slash mother of your granddaughter is a highly reactive person or appears to be a reactive person. Your son doesn't know what to do with her. They've been married 9.5 years. They've been together 9.5 years. They have a baby. Life's kind of weird and awkward for them. So wouldn't we expect their relationships to be kind of weird and awkward, you see? Yeah. So just don't try and fix it all because guess what? I don't think you're going to be able to fix this lady. And all I would do is just do what you can do and leave, you know, and don't try to say, well, if you're not going to see my daughter, you won't see me either. That's to step down at her level. And
well,
you
and
don't
one,
need to do that.
One isn't contingent on the other.
Well, apparently in Renee's mind it is.
Right. But that's how we weave those complicated webs. And I think, Renee, your job is to keep things more separate in your mind and see that your daughter and Ashley have a relationship, okay? It's a rocky one, but they both bear the responsibility of dealing with that relationship. I like the fact that you're trying to keep communication open with Ashley, and I think that's fine. And even, you know, maybe to have another chat and say, it seems like things have gotten rocky again. I don't want to be in the middle of it. That's between the two of you.
Yeah, and
but
I'd
it
be,
does affect all of us.
But and I would be saying, okay, what is the priority here? It is a small child. And the input from her, if she can see the baby, is better than no input from anybody in the family. And the daughter maybe could understand that. So it does stay separate.
Well, and you didn't create the problem between these two women.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
So you're not hurting your daughter by going and seeing your grandchild. Your daughter needs to step up and own her part in this.
That's right.
Yeah, what she has, their relationship seems to be resolving until the baby was born, then it went backwards
just,
again.
Again, I say do what you can do to put positive stuff into the life of your grandchild. Whenever you can see the grandchild and talk with your daughter about her very own unique relationship here.
Right, right.
And I wish we could change people.
Yes, that would be nice.
I wish we had the top 10 phrases for changing people. They just don't exist. We'll be back after this.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're going to talk with Dee right off the bat here, Silver Spring, Maryland, WAVA. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Great, Dee. What's going on in your life today?
Well, first, I just wanted to say thank you to all of you for creating a safe place where people can ask uncomfortable questions, including me, because it's just so helpful, and I'm really blessed by your program, so thank you so much.
You are welcome, Dee.
I wanted to ask a question about dating and Christian maturity.
Okay.
I'm in a situation right now where I've been getting to know someone over the past couple of months, and I'm very careful and cautious about dating. I don't do it very often. But I've gotten to know this person, and just recently, in the last week or so, I'm noticing that they've only been saved for a little under a year. I've been saved for 6 years. And I'm starting to be able to tell some of the divisions in our conversations in terms of how we think, how we make decisions, and the type of habits that we've developed spiritually, what's important to us spiritually. And I feel like I'm kind of stuck because my actual question is, I'm not sure in a situation like this, I really do feel honestly convicted. I feel like God has said, you know, because he is so young in Christ, this is really his time to build relationship with God and not be distracted by a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my question is, and I have not had this conversation with him yet to say, you know, we're not going to further our relationship into something more serious. But my question is, when you're in a position like this where you are not, I don't want to say level, the word level, but I guess equally yoked spiritually, and you can sense that, and you can sense that God is putting a conviction on your heart about it, what is the best decision to make because sometimes that person can have so much potential and you're still growing yourself and you really like them and you see it happening, but you don't want your emotions to rule the situation and make the decision.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make the most responsible decision.
Okay. I want to hear from Mylon and Jill, but I want to give you a very complicated answer, okay?
Okay.
All right. In the beginning of our universe, there God set this universe into motion, and you know, we're this little tiny planet in this humongous universe of billions and billions of planets and stars and all the stuff that's out there. I mean, that for that to happen, that's a really big God, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
And if you really believe in that God, and God is deciding to, in a supernatural way, on this little tiny planet, convict you of something, wouldn't you just be the most insane person in the world to not respond to whatever it is that God is placing on your heart? I mean,
yeah.
If you really believe that God is the God who God is, then you would respond to whatever. I mean, but the key is you'd have to be sure that it was God, and you'd have to be sure that, you know, you were able to interpret what God was saying in the right way. So if God's convicting you of something, man, I would respond to that. But I would make sure I was responding and hearing God in the right way by having some people around me that I could say, hey, I feel convicted about this. What do you think? And that on an ongoing basis, you could share your journey of dating and baby Christian men and all the things that are involved with that. Those are just my complicated thoughts. Mylon, Jill, what are your thoughts?
Well, you could write a book called The Baby Christian Man by Dee from Silver Springs.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, let me ask you a question, Dee. Do you ever feel guilty about other stuff?
Yeah, I have before. Yeah, I think just in terms of relationships in general.
Okay, so
I'm just very reserved and uncomfortable about a lot of things because the last relationship I was in, I was in the position that this guy is in, and someone kind of was led by their feelings for me, and we ended up being in a serious relationship, and we fell into sexual sin, and it just kind of turned into a whirlwind of chaos. So I'm trying to not put him in that same situation or even remotely in the same danger. So I'm automatically just kind of standing off, looking at it, saying, okay, God, I really don't want to make the wrong decision, but I really like this guy.
Okay,
know you're saying it's not the right time.
Well but see, so. I'm questioning, I know you're saying that's not the right time. You know, we attribute to God things that we think he says, and we also attribute to God things about him that sometimes I don't think he had anything to do with, and we want to spiritualize it. And what I'm saying is you might be taking your very emotions of fear and a sense of idealism, you know, I want this relationship to be perfectly ideal. And then we have some guilt that it's not perfectly ideal because I have this conception as to what an ideal match would look like. And then we feel guilty and we say, well, I feel convicted by God, so God's telling me. And I'm saying, you know, I'm not always convinced that is the voice of God, just to further confuse you. And to say, I think you need to take your fears and bring those honestly into relationship and say to this guy, you know, the fact that we're different scares me. And my last relationship ended up going down into a black hole of sex. And I like you, but I have this tension that we're different. And, you know, a true adult relationship, D, is able to tolerate difference, that we are at different levels about stuff. And I could really like the guy. But maybe you need to be asking the question, I'm afraid that if I get too involved, I will become sexual too fast, and then I will violate God's will. And that should be an item of concern for you. But I don't know that God's necessarily my opinion, and I'm just one simple guy here on the planet in a big universe that Steve just described, a very big universe, that just one little tiny guy. And that's just my opinion, that it may not be the voice of God. It might be your conscience saying, what am I going to do here?
Yeah.
I like this guy.
Yeah. Jill, any thoughts?
So, Dee, you've gotten two opinions of things to consider. Just to kind of add into that, I do think the idea of being unequally yoked spiritually is something to consider, but it's not the only thing. And so I think kind of taking what Steve and Mylon both have said and looking at that, what else could be going on for you, and realizing that people don't mature at the same rates, right? So it may not take him 6 years to be where you're at. And it also depends on how much character did this guy have before becoming a Christian versus now as a Christian. And I've known a lot of, you know, new Christians that really take off and grab hold of things. So it's one area of caution.
One thing that does concern me, because he's a wonderful man, and I've actually been able to speak with him about this very subject, and I've been very honest with him in saying, I want to just be straight up about why I'm apprehensive about going forward. And he's been very understanding, but he's still very honest with me in terms of saying, I appreciate you looking out for me. I appreciate you trying to be spiritually responsible. But, you know, I still think that you and I have great things in common, and this isn't just something to throw away. But one thing that kind of concerns me is that he has the kind of job where he's on the road a lot. And he hasn't been able to really plant himself under the covering of a church or a pastor or dip into a Bible study that can just kind of keep him spiritually plugged in. So a lot of times I make the assumption, even though I know we talk about devotional and prayer and things, I just feel like a lot of the time he's running more off of himself, and that he doesn't really have a spiritual outlet to tap into, because he's never in the same place for too long. And I just feel like if we're going to take on a spiritual relationship, we're both going to need our own resources as we're growing in that to dip into and say, hey, this is what's going on in my relationship, or hey, I have this problem in my relationship. And I just feel like there's a lot of self-consulting that might be going on his end.
Jill has a look. Jill has a couple more things she likes to say.
Can you hear me? Because I think Dee, as much as you're trying to protect him, and I think he's not buying it, because you're really trying to protect you. And I hear just how afraid you really are, and you're looking at all the possible things that could go wrong, which, okay, you know, yes, you need to be examining things, and we women often see everything through the filter of our relationship. But I think you need to look at where you're fearful, where you're struggling, as Mylon had mentioned.
Well, Dee's all plugged in. See, she's in the church. Yeah. She is plugged in. But all that plugging in didn't keep her from falling into sin, you see. So I think Dee is very fear-based, and she's seen, as you're saying, Jill, through the lens of fear. And that's what, Dee, you need to work on.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of?
What a question. How we love will help you with that question. And healing is a choice will help you heal it. Boy, I'll tell you, we do so much out of fear. And, you know, all of us, we know that that fear isn't from God. It is not from Him. Unless it's something we ought to be afraid of that's evil, then, you know, that could be a valid fear.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And, you know, we really do need your help here at the end of summer. We've got this $100,000 matching gift, and we have a few thousand that we need to be able to get the matching gift. So we really have to match it before it gets matched. So every dollar that you give would really be worth two to us. And if God is leading you, please, please call us right now. And I hope and pray that we could get that 100 and that we would be here to meet needs long, long after the second coming. Anyway, let's go to Eliezer from Dallas, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Eliezer. Hello, are you there? Well, I guess not. All right, let's talk with Melissa from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Well, thanks for being there.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you guys.
Good to talk to you. How could we help you today?
Well, I'm 43 and single,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wanting to know why I am having to wait so long for my soulmate.
What have you been doing while you've been waiting?
Well, I'm currently trying to find a job.
Okay.
I'm having difficulty with that to fill up my time, and that's basically what I'm doing right now.
Okay. What's your philosophy about dating? Have you been dating or not dating or what?
Well, I haven't dated for about 5 years.
And why is that?
I just haven't met anyone.
Hmm. Well, the best thing I can do for you, we could talk about this, but there's a book that Henry Cloud wrote called How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. And it will tell you how to go from not dating to dating, whether you have a job or not. But there are some things that people do that don't get dates that, you know, can be changed. And it's just really a helpful book. One of the things in there is that it encourages you to start making yourself open to talking to men that you don't know, to saying hello and greeting them and letting them know that you are not avoiding them or that you hate them by the way you look at them. And
well, I'm not exposed to very many people my age.
Okay.
I live in a retirement home, and it's mostly older guys, and I'm not around very many people my age, and that's a concern. And
well, one of the advices that he gives in there is that you would join a dating site to where you would make yourself available to many more people. There are some cautions that you have to follow with that, but when you're not in college, you're off the dating farm, and that's one way to get back on. Your thoughts, Mylon? Jill, what do you think?
Well, Melissa, I'm wondering about this idea of waiting for your soulmate. It's like you're waiting for the ideal guy to come along. And I think when we're just waiting, almost as if our life isn't going to start until that person comes into the picture, it can be a really long wait. And I think the best way to actually bump into someone that might fit with us would be to actually be out living life.
Mm-hmm.
Do all the things you think you would do when your soulmate arrives. Okay.
Right.
So if there's something that you're interested in, get involved in it. Because people are attracted to people who are alive. not people who are just waiting for them to come breathe life into them.
Jill, does Melissa sound depressed to you?
That's what I was saying, yes. Melissa, you sound a little depressed.
Yes, a little bit.
Okay. Okay, so in being depressed, is it hard for you to kind of activate, get moving, get out there?
Well, I don't have a lot of places that I go. I'm very reserved.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And cautious.
Okay.
Well, that's
because I can talk to anybody, but as far as just going around from place to place, I don't do that. I get out and go to the stores. I go eat, places like that where I'm exposed to the public.
Where do you have community? Where are you involved? Where
do
you have
church.
Friends? Okay. Are you involved in church, or do you just go Sunday morning, go home?
I go to a Bible study on Tuesdays.
Okay.
So does everybody in that Bible study on Tuesdays have gray hair just like the retirement community you're living in?
Pretty much.
Okay, well, see.
Why
is that? Why are you living in a retirement community and just hanging
That's
around?
That's a safe place to surely not meet anyone.
Yeah.
Well, the church that I go to the worship service, but I don't see anybody young.
Well, we're asking you about that. Why? Yeah. You know, it's like you're fishing in the wrong barrel, you know?
Well, I wish I could find the right connections.
Well, Tulsa, Oklahoma is a big city.
Yes, it is.
You know, there's Starbucks coffee shops and things like that all around, you know, that you go hang out with. And then
43 is young, Melissa. Do you work?
I know, but I don't feel young.
Yeah, again, that's why we're saying you sound depressed because people who are depressed feel older than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And see things more as what won't work versus possibilities.
Well, I go to restaurants and I even go by myself sometimes and just eat and...
Well, I think this book is going to help you.
And wait for your soulmate to show up.
Yeah, I think the book is going to be the answer here. And
it would be a place to start.
Wish we had more time, but we don't. And we want to see you not be depressed and not be alone and stop looking for your soulmate and start having some fun with people. And this book is going to help you do that. Anybody else wanting a copy of How to Get a Date Worth Keeping, it is a resource that we have right here. Well, just about out of time. Before we do anything else, I want to share a scripture that David wrote. And he said this. He said, "I recognize my shameful deeds. They haunt me day and night." You know, there was a guy who was after God's own heart. He asked God to purify him. But he was very honest with God and very upfront and open. And he saw the problem in his life. And so often, we are blind to what it is that is troubling us. That's why we need people around us, or we need good counselors to help us. And if you need some help, we have a network of 900 plus counselors around the country that are really great people and want to help you become a really great person. All of us have these roadblocks and these walls that prevent us from dealing with the realities of our lives. And we want to help you with that. And some of the people that support our program the most, all we did for them was we helped them find a counselor. And there's some good ones there. And many of them reflect the same kind of thinking that we have here on the program. Not all, because everybody's an individual. Everybody has a different approach. But these are people that we have examined and found them to be credible counselors who are Christians. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And let us help you with that. We have a lot of things going on, and you can find out about it at our new website, newlife.com. It's very easy to find things there. I love this website. It's the best one we've had. Better be. And I just think it'll be easy for you to utilize it. And one of the things that we have is a Christian drug and alcohol treatment center. All you have to do is go to the website and take a look, or go to 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And as I asked earlier, if you can support us, please, please do. We need it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number. Thank you, Mylon Yurkovich, and thank you, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And thanks to all of you who support this ministry and allow us to do this every weekday. God bless you. See you next time here on New Life.
for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.